the name of the sermon is Don't Let the Devil Eat Your Seed. Y'all remember that one? Y'all remember that one? And let's just start talking about some things. I promise to be brief and concise, and hopefully you'll hear some things, and somebody on the internet webcam there will hear something that'll touch their lives. We're going to go to Hosea 4:6, and we've said it before, and we've all quoted, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And we stop right there. And I stopped there, I think, the last time I spoke about this. But if you keep reading, it says, "Because they have rejected knowledge." Wow, okay, yeah. So, you know, you've heard that all your life. "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Well, that's true, but I don't want to be in the ones that's rejected knowledge, you know. And he goes on to say some harsh things. He talks about forgetting the law of God. I don't even like reading it, but he says he'll forget your children. We don't want that. We want our children remembered. So we're not going to reject knowledge. We're not going to be the ones that reject knowledge. And Don, your words I've heard for 10 or 15 years come back to me a lot of times in my life. And this bears repeating. The word of the Lord came to us about 9-10 years ago through Don. And it says, "The more you understand, the less you fight." Remember that one, brother? I've lived off of that for a decade now. "The more you know, the less you struggle." Okay? So we got to fight and we got to struggle. So you got to understand, or you're going to be fighting some things. And you're going to know some things, you'll quit struggling. And here's what the Lord kind of added to those statements. It says, "The more you hide or plant, the more you hide my words in your heart, the more you'll rest." Okay? So we don't want to fight. We don't want to struggle. What do we want to do? We want to rest. Okay? I'm going to say it again. The more you understand, the less you'll fight. And the more things you know, the less you'll struggle. And the more you hide my words, God's words in your heart, the more you rest. Something the Lord showed me years ago that explains a lot of things in the Bible is the Old Testament, the first half of your Bible there, Genesis, starting in Genesis there, it deals with external and physical things of man. External and physical things of man, okay? In other words, God's on the outside, and he's just trying to get on the inside. You know what I'm talking about? He's trying. He just wants to. He can't because he'd kill you. He'd touch you. If you touched his presence in an Ark of the Covenant, you'd drop dead if you wasn't anointed to do so. So the Old Covenant is external and physical. God is on the outside, and he's trying to get on the inside. New Covenant, start with Matthew through Revelation. It's internal and spiritual. Think about this. Internal and spiritual. It's God where on the inside, and he's just trying to get on the outside. Why is he trying to get on the outside? To help you. To change your world, to change those around you, to get the heaven that's inside you out so people can taste and see that the Lord is good. That's it right there. It's God on the inside trying to get on the outside. So let's back up a little bit here. If we go to Genesis 3:14, this is the scene of the crime, if you will. Genesis 3:14, "The Lord said to the serpent, 'Because you've done this,'" I got to make my voice a little lower, "'because you've done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go," and underline this if you can, "and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." So what does the devil eat? What does the devil eat? What does his cohorts eat? What do they survive on? Dust. I'm going to explain that. Let's go ahead to Genesis 3:17, just right down there. "Then Adam said to his wife," you had God speaking to a serpent, three verses up. You got God speaking to a serpent, then you got God speaking to Adam. I'm going to get this, Mama. It's been a long week. It's been a long day. It's been a long week. I'm talking about, guys, 1 week ago, I don't want to go into it because we're on the internet and all. It was bedlam, brother. I'm talking about it was dangerous. There's one time I was in the bathroom praying the blood of Jesus over my guys, and I went out there and they were trying to throw this 13,000-volt line. I stopped. I said, "My stomach ain't right, guys. Y'all back up." And sure, the thing blew up. And then I brought my brothers over to the side. I said, Ain't you glad you Bubba prays in the bathroom? If that, they were asking me today, I said, "Was a safety lady there?" I said, "No, but I was praying in the bathroom." I said, "Well, that's all we need. That's all we need right there." Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so it's been a long week, guys. But my Lord has been there with me. He talks to me. He talks to me. He does. He nudges me. Hey, look at here, look at here. That's what he does now through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. See, I get to experience Jesus like the disciples did through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my link to what the disciples experienced with Jesus. I'm going to say that I know Jesus. I'm getting to know him a lot better, but I know Jesus kind of like one of the disciples do. You know what I'm trying to say? You know what I'm talking about? And he gets on to me. He asks me to do stuff. He prompts me. He stops me. He starts me. Anyway, so we've been dealing with a lot of stuff. And, you know, I'm going to get this in my sermon, and it's been coming to me. Lord has me say stuff, and he has me say it out loud. And the further I get into learning about him and knowing how he works and knowing how he does, when he prompts you to say something, and I do it not even realize that you're releasing power in what he's saying. And I've been saying out loud, can't eat me, can't eat me. And we're going to talk about what, anyway. So Adam did something he shouldn't have done, and God told him about it. He said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. Now, I love my wife. And most of the time I do heed the voice of my wife. And she's so smart. And anytime I think I'm smarter than her on something, nah. It's the Lord just reminding me that the voice of my wife has power in it. Okay. But Adam heeded to the voice of his wife, and he did something he shouldn't. The word of God says, he's eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of. Because you did it, cursed is the ground for your sake. And toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. How many days of his life? 930 years. That's a long time to be up. So we got three questions right here. My old sermon had two. The Lord said, add another. Yes, sir. Three questions. Who cursed the serpent? The serpent did. The serpent cursed it. Because you have done this, you are cursed. Because you did it, you cursed yourself. All right? So from that, who created Satan? Who created Satan? Lucifer. Come on, think with me. God didn't create the devil. Lucifer created Satan. So who cursed the earth? Adam. Adam did. Adam cursed the earth. Look, it said right here. Because you have done this. Because, Adam. Because you did what I told you not to do, cursed is the ground for your sake. Adam cursed the earth. See, God doesn't do cursing, never has, never will. The curse was being held back by Adam. Not any longer. Here's something a little bit, it's kind of like, you know, you want a lot of, okay, if you're a musician, the most awesome thing that can happen to you as a musician is to have people want to hear you. All right. Even if you can't sing or play or whatever, you want people to hear you. When you preach, Don, what's my, you want people to hear you, man. You want people to hear you. You know what I'm saying? You want people to hear you. And I'm glad you got dibs on Sunday morning. I'm glad. I'm going to be praying for you. You're going to hit it, brother. Kabow out the park. But what I think it's talking about here is kind of easier to talk about in small groups. It is. Because I spend a lot of time with the Lord and I hear his voice, you know, and I listen to him and he explains things to me. And a lot of the stuff, I'm not going to say most of it, but a lot of stuff he tells me, I'm so glad he don't want me telling nobody, because it's some weird, deep stuff sometimes. But this right here, 2 Corinthians 2:11 talks about us not being ignorant of Satan's devices, okay? In other words, know your enemy. And I got in my notes right here, Bo, know your enemy because he knows you. Ooh, that's something right there. So I don't want the devil. I don't just hide in the crowd where the devil won't even know where I am. No. You need to know your enemy because your enemy knows you. He knows you. You got something he wants, and he is craving something that you have. And he is studying up on you, and he is watching you, and he is looking for, anyway. So the Lord said, what is the devil eating dust for? Well, think about it. Adam was made in God's image. And the dust side of Adam is the carnal, is the weakness, is the very thing that made him do what he did, is the weakness, the carnality, the Adamic nature flows in the area of the carnal mind. And that carnal mind is is the very thing that the devil wants in on. He wants to eat it. He wants to get fat. He wants to get fat on your carnal side, the Adamic nature. All right? He feeds off cursed dirt. Cursed dirt is that part of you, part of every person that ain't supposed to be there. Okay? The more he eats, stronger he gets. And just to make it clear, he started out as a serpent that could probably be whacked in the head with just a good old stick or even stomped. And if you go to the very end of the book, he done got 7 heads. And every head's got 10 horns. I mean, he been eating. He getting full. He getting a belly full of something. You know what I'm talking about? So if you resist the devil, he'll flee. Why? Because you starve him out. You starve him out. You put him on a diet. We're going to talk more about this. So what are these things? See, the devil, he's the head, and then he has got principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that are under him. And something the Lord showed me, that there's more weak ones than there are strong ones. And the strong ones, they in other words, the strong ones are heading toward the White House tonight. You see what I'm trying to say? They're heading toward the leaders of the countries. They're heading toward anybody that has influence over any other person. Most people, we call them a lower level devil. That's what I call it. Most people deal with a lower level devil. Okay? And see, I want to just explain some things about, they're little. They're small. I'm trying to, Hollywood, anytime you see a movie and the devil's like big and giant and fierce and can't be stopped, that's just a hint that he ain't. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah, he ain't. That's not good English, but it's true. He is not. He was the anointed cherub that it was his role to stand up in his reflective jewel-clad clothing and usher in the presence of God for all of heaven each day. In other words, I don't think it gets dark in heaven, but it gets dim. I read that book about I've seen heaven, and it gets dim, and it gets bright. Well, it was his. He was the star of the morning, the star of the morning. And what made him so mad, what tore him up, was when God came to Adam in the cool of the day. I thought the cool of the day was the evening. No, the cool of the day is morning. Morning, the morning star. The morning star had the morning in heaven. All of heaven's attention was on him every morning in heaven. Every morning. Now this attention is on Adam and the creation that he made. The devil couldn't stand it. And the jealousy that he had over us got him cast out of heaven. But any of us know, the farther you get away from God and his life-sustaining presence, the dumber, the weaker, the stupider, the smaller you get. I don't care what you say. Ain't no devil got no power unless we feed it to him. Unless we feed it to him, he ain't got nothing. When Jesus said, no ground, there's nothing in me, give the devil no ground. We're going to be talking about that. That's dust. He's talking about dirt. He's talking about the carnal side of that belly-eating dust fool. Don't give him any ground. Don't give him any ground, and he cannot get any stronger in your life. It's so simple, an 8-year-old child could understand this. Okay, let's keep talking. These demon things, the Lord showed me this years ago. They're small in stature. That's what he says. Watch this. They're giant wannabes. They wanted to be giants so bad that Genesis 6 told what they tried to do. They said, we need some better DNA in our makeup. So the sons of God came in the daughters of men, and they tried to create giants. Right. But I got to believe them giants were stupid. I got to believe they were big and tall, and Og, he's in there. He had a 12-foot bed. But I bet he's dumber than two rocks put together. I bet he's stupid. I bet all he wanted to do was eat. All he wanted to do is eat. I guarantee you, he was stupid. He's stupid. You're not going to get wise having a demon in your DNA. You're not. You're not going to get wise. You're not. Okay. They're out to establish their own identity by making you do stuff. They're extremely jealous of each other. They're not organized or trained. In other words, you think of the devil in his group. being like a trained squad of ninjas that just go, no, they're stupid. They're like the Keystone Cops, but worse. You ever seen the Keystone Cops stumbling, bumbling, falling around? They don't have organizational skills at all. They did, but their lights are dimming as we speak because they're farther away from God's presence. And they're looking for something to eat. They're looking for something to give them rest and peace that they can never have. They worry about everything. They operate purely out of fear, and all they have is fear-based thinking. I'm telling you, Lord, show me this. They look for ways to get promoted by stepping over each other. Like the Lord showed me, said, if they drove a car, they'd cut each other off in traffic. They wouldn't let somebody out if they were trying to get out of a parking lot. They would give them a dirty sign and keep driving. They hate each other. The demons hate each other. They hate each other. They compete, and watch this. This is where they gamble. Now, what does that mean? They gamble. They say, I bet you a dollar. And this was in my sermon last time. I bet you a dollar, or I bet you, Lord said, no, it ain't a dollar. I bet your place in the principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. I'll get ahead of you if I can make Barack Obama sing Amazing Grace with the gay flag, the pride flag right there in front of you on television 3 days in a row. And he did that in 2009. And some demon got another demon's place. Because the demon that was trying to get him to do it couldn't. For years and years, the demon that was trying to get the gay pride week mess at the White House visible couldn't do it. But the one that got it stepped on the one that couldn't. See how this works? I'm telling you, they're out to get you, but we got them. We got them. Y'all think I'm crazy? Y'all are looking at me like I've got three heads up here. This is prophetic. This is what the Lord showed me. Even going back to this, I said, Lord, are you sure? I said, yes, tell him. Be not ignorant of his devices. And you know, and tonight you're not going to be ignorant. And we're not going to reject knowledge either. We're not. They're desperately looking for rest, shelter, and food. Prove it. You know the story in the Bible, Jesus talking, is in two places, Matthew and Luke, and I'm just going to hurry through it. When an evil spirit is cast out of a man, he walks in dry places looking for rest. It says it right there in the Bible. And when he comes back, he brings seven more. And he finds the place all clean. He brings seven more. And the house is worse than it was before he got cast out if he's not doing what he's supposed to do. They're looking for rest. They're looking for shelter. And they're looking for food. And the only food they know, the only food they can consume is what God said is dust, it's dirt, it's carnality. See, the fight has always been over territory. This is it. Over territory. From day one, and back in the day, remember old covenant, outside trying to get in instead of inside trying to get out. It was over the actual physical dirt of a nation. See, it was, remember the Lord said, he told him, he said, all the land you see, Moses, it's yours. From the sea to here to there, everything you see, that land, that dirt is yours. That's yours. But now watch this. It's a nation, it's people. You see what I'm talking about? A nation back in the day was actual physical land, the borders of this, that, and the other. But now a nation is a nation of people that the devil's trying to get a hold of. You see what I'm trying to say? Why? Inside spiritual instead of outside physical. See, here's what you got to see. If the devil can't have the land, then he's just as happy to poison it so it won't function. Why? Because if it's a food source, if it's a curse, if it's cursed, if it's producing a curse, it'll become a food source to him. That's key right there. Get my water. The devil has to have a food source to survive in your presence or in anybody's presence, any human's presence. And the only way he can survive is to have a curse producing carnal dust, if you will, of what Adam started. It's even deeper than that. You look at some science stuff, try to turn their thoughts into religion. They try to turn the things that they believe, because they believe in anything that you believe in, you can't see. It's a religion, or it's a potential to be religion. But they have proved that something hit this earth years ago and took the dinosaurs out and created a lot of dust. It was a devil. He's the prince of the power of the air. He is. He knew this earth was set aside for something he always wanted. It even gets deeper than that. He used to rule the earth. He used to have angels that rule the earth. And anyway, that's Noah's flood was not the first flood. Genesis flood. Anyway, not going there tonight. But when God picked up that handful of dirt and said, let us make man in our image, I believe he picked up a handful of dirt and opened one hand, it fell in his other hand. The devil knew what he meant. Yeah, the devil knew what he meant. He's going to make somebody out of the mess the devil tried to create so he could dominate the devil. That's what he did. See, we're dirt-based because we're of the original earth that God created us to be dominant of. See, we're physical. When you die, I know it's so much, 17 things in my head at once. I'm trying to get it all out. Maniquito robo santa. I'm gonna get it out. Slow down. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When you're at a funeral, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, we're dust based. When our spirits leave our body turns back into the soil it was created out of. A horseshoe crab has iodine in it as its blood source. Iodine is what? Salt, Epsom salt, because they're from the sea. Our blood is what? Iron based. What's at the center of the earth? Iron. It's got an iron core. We are made out of what we're standing on so we can dominate what we're standing on. Father God is made out of spirit. He operates in the spirit realm. He dominates the spirit realm. He has given us the earth realm. He will dominate through us in the earth realm, but he will not. The earth lease is still in place. He will not stop a devil unless he stops a devil through me or you. That's just the way it's set up. People, I don't believe that. No. The only way you get close, but you're still doing something, devil, I just tithed, you are rebuked. But I still did something. Had I not tithed, he could not be rebuked. See what I'm saying? A devil is rebuked through you because you're earth-based, your blood is iron-based, you own this place. The lease has been given to you. Does anybody understand that? Devil can't stand it. He can't stand it. He can't stand it. It's driving him crazy right now. It's making him so mad that I'm teaching you this. He cannot stand it. But if you understand this, it'll change your life. Well, calm down. Calm down. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. 1 Peter 5:8. A very open scripture that everybody knows. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Now, that's not the devil. That's all demons. That's all the crazy bunch that we cannot see. All of that bunch right there is as a roaring lion walking about, watch this, seeking whom he may devour. Everybody say this, can't eat me. Can't eat me. Can't eat me. Now watch this. It says he's like a roaring lion. What is he trying to eat? What feeds him? What satisfies his hunger? It ain't a Snickers bar. It is satisfying. It ain't a Snickers bar. It's the carnality. The word carnal minded is meat headed thinking. Come on now. It's actions that are yummy to your enemy. I had to say it. It's just funny to say that, isn't it? Actions that's yummy to your enemy. That's what it is. All right. Think of this. Just get you thinking. One time, it's been a little while, this stink bug got on Vanessa. And she's, and she whacked that thing, stunk the whole house up. And then she said, why is that stink bug stinking? Because she thought she was going to eat it. That stink bug thought she was a big old bird, burr, burr, and was going to eat that thing. And it gave off its defensive. And not only did we not want to eat it, I wanted it out of the house. I wanted it far away from that thing as I could. All right, there's one example. You ever seen the little poison dart frogs? They're the most prettiest thing out in the jungle. But don't mess with them. Don't dare eat one of them. They got poison in their skin. They're unpalatable. You eat them, you might get sick. You might get die. Those natives sweat them things over their spears, and they shoot them spears in a monkey, and the monkey just fall dead. Don't eat one of them. Don't eat one of them. And this is one of my favorite examples here. This is it. Daddy, do you remember when we were kids and you had your little compost bin? Do you remember that? My daddy had a little fence about, 6 or 8 foot square. And everything that we didn't eat that was kind of, that would rot, you know, fish bones, corn cobs, name it, elk eggshells, just name it. He'd put in his compost bin. it would rot. He would throw some leaves in there too. Then he used that for fertilizer. Never fails. Something about that compost pile. Them dogs would get up there in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., and do all kind of heathenistic stuff by the light of the moon. And Dad would get all upset. He'd be hollering, rah, rah. He'd be hollering and carrying on at 2 in the morning. You remember that, Dad? It's just 30 years ago. It's a long time. And I never forget my mama said, David, if you quit feeding them dogs, they'd go somewhere else. Didn't you, Mom? Didn't you say that? But it's the truth. You quit feeding that devil, and guess what? He'll go somewhere else. Why? Because you'll starve him out. He'll starve him silly. Yeah, he'll be going, God, I'm getting bony up in here. I got to go somewhere. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, I got meat that you don't know about. He said that his meat, his protein source was to do the will of his Father. That's something right there. See, because when he's doing the will of his Father, it's sustenance. But devil can't stand it. You remember when Jesus defeated him, said he left him for a season. That was a long season. That was 3 years or so. It was a long time, Don, that the devil left Jesus for a season. It's more than a season, brother. It was half a decade, probably. It was a long time. So do you realize, the guy's reading my notes here, do you realize since you were dirt-based and that you were created to function as an incubator of seed? That's what the devil wants. That's why he wants your territory, because he knows what's on the inside of you. When it's planted with God's word, you're an incubator for God's word. Your spirit's on the inside of you, the soil of his word will fit in the soil of your spirit, and it'll create everything. It will give you anything you need in your life. The Lord said, you are a hotbed of potential. Who agrees with that? You are a hotbed of potential is what you are. You sure are. Just as the earth has potential to bring forth a harvest from seed, you are to manifest God's word and have the fruit of what he said. My God, that's so good right there. Soil only knows one thing. What does soil know to do? Produce. Soil only knows one thing, and that's to produce. It'll try to germinate a fence post. You ever seen that? Have y'all noticed that the yellow wood, the treated wood ain't treated no more? That stuff used to wouldn't rot. I mean, you could get sick off cutting it with a saw. Why? Because it had poison in it. It had arsenic in it. Now you put that stuff in there and 5 years later it's rotten. Why? Because the bacteria likes it. That's why. That's the rot likes it. But if you want that rot to go away, fill it full of arsenic. No, I don't know that. Bacteria says, I ain't messing with that yellow wood, that treated pine wood. I ain't messing with it. So what you continually expose yourself to, you will reproduce. Now, I'm telling you now, I'm going to say it again. What you expose yourself to, you reproduce it. What time is it? Oh, goodness, I'm not going to get through this. Wow. This could be a 6-week sermon or a 4 or 5 sermon deal. Well, let's see. Lord, what do I need to do? You know, the Bible says you're a treasure in an earthen vessel. You ever heard that? You're a treasure in an earthen vessel. You're dirt-based. Now, here's something right here. Lord, show me this. I didn't see it last time. Real simple little scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:6. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God. Now, that's just so simple. I think I remember hearing that in the Baptist church when I was 8 years old. I think I heard that. But it flew right over my head. I didn't think about it. Meditated on it. Lord, show me some things. If you want to increase in your life, who wants to increase in their life? It's real important how you water it. If you're not getting increase in your life, check how you're watering it. Check how you're watering the seed that's planted. To plant a seed in your spirit ain't hard. But to water it to fruition, to get it to the point where a harvest is available to you, That's the challenge of life right there, guys. That is the challenge of life right there. That right there. See, if you're not experiencing the increase you want in your life, check the seed. Check the seed. You probably got God's word. If you're around here, you're getting God's word. And if you still ain't getting something, check the watering process. Being dirt based, you will produce something. Dirt only knows to produce what is put in it. And see, that is very important there. Whatever you put in your spirit, you will reproduce. That's something there. All right, let's move on over here. So we're talking about unhealthy land, right? I got 10 minutes. I'm not going to keep y'all, I promise. I'm not, but I want you to see this. Are you enjoying this? Is it helping you in any way? I want it to. So we're talking about unhealthy land. This is what's wrong with most of the world. Most of the world, a lot of the world, is dead. Okay, so forget them just a minute. This is what's wrong with a lot of the body of Christ. The land that's in them is so polluted, is so contaminated, is so carnally cursed that it won't produce what God has said it would. And I wish Marty was here, and I'm going to tell him on Sunday. The Lord showed me or told me to tell him, or if he'd have been here, he had some stuff going on inside of him that sped up his healing process of open heart surgery. Why? Because the land inside of him was producing. You see? It was producing. And I'm going to tell him Sunday, if he's here, I was going to say, brother, you had built your spirit up through my brother's teaching, no less, back there in the disciples training school, to where a doctor's scalpel, time was collapsed. Seed, time, and harvest. If you see, a miracle is when the time is collapsed, it's seed harvest. You know, something either falls off your body or grows in your body, or a bone is mended instantly. It's still seed time harvest, but the time's collapsed. The time is like done, and there's your miracle. That's the way Father God does stuff. So let me hurry. Let's get through this. I want you to hear this. So we're talking about unhealthy land. Land that produces undesirable fruit. What is it? What causes it? What's the biggest contaminator of unhealthy land? That's what the Lord told me. The ways of the proud. Proud. Being proud. Which includes unforgiveness, bitterness, not walking in love, laziness, and not dealing with known sin. And you know, I had to just say this. What's up with this Pride Month mess? I mean, come on now. Really? Pride Month? I mean, I'm not here to preach about all that, but if you think about this, just think about this. The actions that were going on before Noah's flood literally caused every person on the planet but 8 people to die. Think about that. Every living creature died. Every living creature. And then when it was over, what did Father God show in the sky? A rainbow. So you're going to use that and have your Pride Month. Bless your soul. You don't even know it. You don't even realize it. You don't even know. Who watched the Olympics? I heard my brother went off on it. Watched the opening ceremonies. See that right there is demon devils betting out each other, and I can make them do that. Now look, I can do that. I can get them to do the Last Supper, and I can find my most mentally ill, and I can get them to do that. Well, if you do, you can have my spot in this thing because I can't get them to do it, and he did it, and offended 4 billion people in the process. And I wonder when the church is going to rise up and tell the devil what to do and stand over him until he does it. When is that going to happen? Because if it don't happen, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. The good fight is I stand on your neck till you die, till you choke, till I choke you out, till you're so emaciated from trying to be around me that you're starved out of your narrow behind's mind. That's it. All right, let me keep going. So, God gives more grace, but God resists the proud. That's what James 4:6 says. 1 Peter 5:5 says that, likewise, you younger submit to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Underline that word or listen to me. For God resists the proud. So how do we fix it? How do we fix this thing? Take you to 2 Chronicles 7:14. We all know it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, we're going to break it down in just a second, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. That's key right there, fixing your land, and I will heal their land. Now, again, Old Covenant is probably talking about land over there in the Middle East where they're trying to grow figs or something, olive trees. But no. The modern day of this is we need our sins forgiven, removed, so our land inside of us can be healed. So, if my people, not the heathen, but my very own family, the ones I call by name, will humble themselves. That's something you got to do, something we got to do. Quit being so proud, my Lord in heaven. Quit being so proud. What is wrong? And arrogant and know-it-all. And world opinionated. Come on now. Pray. If my people, call by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Talk to me. Now, you got to really get real with me, is what the Lord said. Get real with me. Get serious, and let's get to the bottom of what's going on in your life. See, if you come to him, my little sermon, the last one I preached, was a Syrophoenician woman. And when she got to the bottom line of what was going on, fell on her face. See, something I didn't talk about, Lord even showed me later, that woman knew how to worship. Now, she worshiped demons and devils and do all kind of crazy cockeyed mess in the middle of it. She knew how to worship. She just worshiped her own thing. When she got down on her face and worshiped and got to the bottom line and said, Lord, help me, boom, she's in. That's it. I fixed it. She was fixed from then on. Now, she had to do some things, but she was fixed. Get to that bottom line of what's going on. Seek my face. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, if you seek his face, guess what you'll find? You'll find his mouth. Ah, you'll find right in the middle of his mouth, under his beautiful eyes, you'll see his mouth. And if you find his mouth, he'll always give you something to say, and he'll say something to you. That's beautiful right there. Give you something to say, and he'll say something to you. He'll show you the solution you're looking for, but you got to seek his face, not his hand, not a quickie fix, not a let me see how close I can get to you. Okay, I got mine. No, 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 no. You can pass me not, oh gentle Savior. No, 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 no. You get in his face. You look for his face, because his face is the source of all glory. And the source of all glory is in the center of his face is his mouth. And his mouth is available to you. His mouth. He says you can't even live by cornbread alone. No, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of my Father. That's what Jesus said. You got to have him say something over your situation. And when he does, he'll give you something to say over your situation. It may be something as simple as, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And you mean that. And if that's what he's wanting to do for you, and you repeat that back to him, help's coming. Ever-present help's coming. My Lord, thank you. Turn from your wicked ways. What is that? Well, wicked is like wicker is twisted. Twisted ways. No, it's twisted thinking. It's like bent ideas. It's like, well, we is all raised never knowing what God's thinking. That's twisted. Well, where I came from, a man's got to pull his own self up by his bootstraps. That's wicked, twisted thinking. Just because Grandmama Putin Nanny said it don't mean it's right. Mama Nim may not have had that figured out. You've got to find his mouth. Let him say something. You say what he's told you to say and quit being twisted. Quit being twisted. Turn from your wicked ways, my Lord. Now, warped doctrines. Yeah, I heard it, Lord. Warped doctrines. And as a boy, you could preach a month of Sundays on that right there. There are so many people with warped doctrines that would probably fight in the floor over what they heard when they was a kid. But you didn't go nowhere with what you heard as a kid. You're still sick. You're still broke. You're still stupid. What you heard as a kid ain't working. You better hear what come from his mouth. My Lord, do you see this? Internet people, do you see this? You cannot make it without hearing something from his mouth. Faith cometh by hearing what comes out of his mouth. And you'll never hear his mouth without seeking his face. Okay, I'm hushing. He's going to hear you. And he's going to forgive you. And then you're going to be healed. You're healed. Your land's healed. It's what the Lord told me last night. I was trying to write it down. Your heart's the soil. Watch this. Your soul's the tractor. It's your mind, your will, and emotions. And your mouth's involved in this too. But your heart's a soil, your soul's a tractor, and your mouth's the sickle that brings it all to you. You see what I'm saying? The Lord showed me one time, he showed me, we're getting better, aren't we, Vanessa? We'll be walking sometimes, we'll just scream. They think we're drunkards screaming, angels, angels, bring us our harvest in Jesus' name. Don't we, darling? We just do it. We just holler it out. Because the Lord told me, he said, if I had to grade my whole group of children in giving, B+. We're givers. You're givers. If I was to grade my children in harvesting what the fruit of what they gave, C-, D+. That's what he told me, D+. Well, I'm trying to at least get a B in that class. You know what I'm talking about? Easy to sow, hard to reap sometime. Hard to reap. How do you reap? With your mouth. You got to seek his face. You got to tell you what to say. You got to say what he said to say. Okay. All right. Hush, Master. I will hush. Yes, sir. Your heart is the soil. Your soul is the tractor that sows the seed into the soil. Your mouth is the sickle that causes the harvest. So turn from your wicked ways. So stop planting cursed seed into a cursed field and getting a cursed harvest and asking God why he didn't help you. Come on now. Stop doing it. Internet folks, folks on the internet, stop doing that. Stop doing that. That's fun to say. Carnal-minded thinking leads to actions that will corrupt your internal land, feed the devil, feed the demons, and therefore your desired harvest will be failure. 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 Some twisted thinking was when we planted corn on Easter Sunday, after church no less, in 1974. Remember that? And the rains knocked it down. And Mimi and Papa, my grandparents, said, "The Lord must be mad at us for working on Sunday because our corn was took out with a storm." That's twisted thinking. So I was running around a little kid going, "I'm mad at God if he did that." You know, it's like, why would he want to do that to my Mimi? It's twisted thinking. It's unlearned ignorance. It's feeding the devil, not even knowing you're feeding him, and building a stronghold in your mind that puts you against God when you need him the most in your life. Do you see that? That's twisted thinking. Wow. Okay. Where are we? I bet it's time to go, isn't it? 8:03. Yeah, let's stop this thing. So the ultimate goal as a believer is to have your land, your land healed. You can still be born again and have a corrupted field. You still can. You'd be going to heaven with just thorns and kookaburras growing inside you and wondering why your life ain't working right, right? So you got to seek his face. You got to get forgiveness. And you got to find something to say that he'll tell you, and he'll heal what's on the inside of you. The ultimate goal in the life of every believer is to have your land healed, to heal your land. It allows you to reproduce anything and everything God has promised you in his word. That's how you enter into his rest right there. He's not just trying to get heaven. He's not just trying to get you to heaven, but what's he trying to do? Trying to get heaven in you. Trying to get heaven in you. And I'm going to stop right here. Stop right here. Isaiah 51:16 says, "I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say to Zion, you are my people." Plant the heavens. What heavens? The heavens, the kingdom of God we're talking about are those that are inside of you. Right? Lay the foundations of the earth by planting the heavens that's inside of you, the Holy Ghost soil, the sacred holy soil of your spirit, that if you're filled with the Spirit, it's his Spirit. In other words, get the weeds out of that thing. Let's get that tractor, chugga, 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 and start feeding that thing, start pulling weeds, and start put that thing in low gear and get into the fight of faith and learn what God has said. Quit thinking you don't need to come to church, but get yourself in here and get in the presence of our Father and get your land healed. Whew, my Lord. Jesus has fixed things to the point that we have been given back the Garden of Eden on our insides. That's what the Lord told me. He said, write that down, Matt. Jesus has fixed it. We've been given the ultimate do-over. Adam and Eve, 930 years, I figured they were itching and scratching for millennia, for almost a millennium, wearing fig leaves and old nasty leather clothes, whatever they was wearing. I think they sat around and they scratched and they said, if we could just do this over, if we could just get a do-over. Well, Jesus gave you the do-over. He gave you the do-over. He gave you the do-over. He's fixed things to the point to where you can get in his presence. Use some of these things I've told you. Quit doing the things you're doing. Seek his face. Say what he says say. Let him forgive you, and he'll do what? Heal your land. And you'll start growing a harvest on the inside of you that will change everything around you. And you'll be like the windows of heaven will start coming out of you on the inside. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside, trying to help everybody that can be helped. Whew. How about it? Am I okay? Am I all right? 8:07, Don, I didn't sing too long, did I? I love you guys. Father, we love you so much. I rush. I could have made 3 sermons out of this. I skipped some things. But I hope the words that you gave me, you bless the fruit of my lips. I'll just agree with this body of believers, this wonderful body of believers, that somewhere, somebody,